Set your soul.
Keeping it real with Shan Naidu.
In studio tonight, we have Modise from the City of Ikurleni. He's the youth director of that.
Woohoo! Beep, 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 beep.
I can see it's going to be interesting.
It's about evening. To start.
And I've also got Arthur Wade Anderson, founder of Africa's Got Game and WeCode as well. So, whoa to Arthur.
Woohoo!
Okay, also on the line, a special guest, Kafense, who also made time to chat to us. And it was important that we get a representative like Kafense on the line, because sometimes we often just, you know, do strategy discussions and we chat about youth, but we don't actually get the youth involved. So it's important to have a voice from the youth. And Kafense, welcome. We've got you on WhatsApp, so we've dialed you in. Can you hear us?
Yeah, peace be unto you, Shan, and your listeners. And thank you so much for inviting us to come and share our views today. Looking forward to the conversation, really.
Keeping it real with Shan Naidu.
But I think let's start off first by just chatting about some of the actual challenges. Now, you only probably heard a lot of these challenges on news, right? You're probably just hearing about the COVID and the impact it's having in terms of retrenchments and the economic impact and so forth. And it's a very general view overall, because that's the current issues that we're facing. But the reality is that our youth are suffering. And if we don't do something, or we don't have plans in place to set them up for success after or during this crisis, is there still going to be a future after the pandemic? Right? So you can address the pandemic issues, but if there's nobody left,
what does that look
what
like?
What does it look like? So I think we've got to keep it real and say, guys, what is going to happen? And I think a lot of young people out there, you know, besides the parents saying, I've lost my job, I don't know where to go, what to do, I don't have the funds for the education and all of that, I'm sure the youth are even more scared, but probably just hiding behind facades and Facebook and TikTok and so forth. But I think behind that, there's some fear, and the reality sometimes needs to kick in. And so I'm going to pose a question, and like I said, it's a 360 view, so Modise is going to give us that public sector view. Arthur's going to focus on more the private sector, because he deals a lot with corporates and works within the private sector. And then Kafense, it'll be nice for you to chat around what is actually happening on the ground with young people. What are they saying? Because you are young yourself, you're close to them. We need to know, because if we don't know, we won't be able to make a difference. And you are their voice. So Mr. Modise, get us your view. What is happening out there in terms of the youth right now?
Thanks. So my responsibilities I've mentioned, and they deal with a lot of young people, but I think it would be prudent of me to first define what the young people that I deal with or who they are. Because one of the things, you know, we treat young people like how we give, there's an anecdote about how we provide or give to people on the streets. If you give to a person on the streets, or you don't give, you hardly ever look at them in the eye. You yeah. just want to drive past, and even if you do provide that 2 rand or that donation. So the point I'm trying to raise is that we hardly ever give or identify young people who they are. And we always have this image or imagination about what or who young people are. So who are young people? Young people are that guy or that boy who's selling cartoons of cigarettes on the street. He's that young person who is the petrol attendant giving you or offering you to pour petrol. A young person is that waiter that's giving you services in that particular restaurant. A young person is that young lady who's doing your gardening or your housekeeping. A young person is many things. He's that person who is actually the victim of crime.
Sure.
He's that person who's being raped. He's that person under drugs. He's that person who's a perpetrator of crime. A young person is, you know, that young person who's actually has a dream of playing soccer or sports and sure. actually making something of themselves. A young person is that one person who's sitting at the corner of a street somewhere, no hope, no future, looking for a job. A young person is that young person who actually is in that internet cafe.
Yeah.
Every day, without a dime, wondering how they're going to make the next dime to go to the internet cafe to just send their CV.
CV's out.
So, young person is literally, in that example I made, and how we identify them, when you give to that homeless person in the street that you can't look in the eye.
Sure.
Because the crisis that they face, and what I'm faced with, is a national crisis, or at least in my region, it's a regional crisis of people that cannot really fend for themselves, who are trying, usually tagged as lazy, outspoken, and usually tagged as people with no solutions.
Sure.
So we must have a proper picture of who young people are. They are those criminals that hijack you, not justifiably so, but because of the situation they find themselves in and facing. So the challenges that they face is precisely who they are and the description that I gave you. Number one, underemployment or unemployment completely. I'm sure Kifenso will speak about challenges that young people face even when they get an opportunity to get to university and after. Those are young people.
That's
the reality that young people face. Young people are challenged with a serious scourge of unemployment. I mean, the latest quarterly survey says 30.1% of young people, or at least of South Africans, are now on the general unemployment rate, facing unemployment, and 60.1 or so percent of them never, of being youth, and some percentage of them never ever finding employment. It's those people that are keeping and trying to get their companies to get a purchase order within government, or trying to get that subcontract within the township for that road that's being built. Those are young people. So they face many challenges. They face challenges of GBV. They face challenges of drugs. They face challenges of hijackings. They face many, many challenges. But the main challenge that they face, or at least where it trickles down to, or trickles up to in this case, is that issue of socioeconomic empowerment. So we've got a disenfranchised youth, or disenfranchised young person, and fortunately or unfortunately, it's spiraling around or across all races. Right? You find, I deal with many issues now. I mean, you find black, white, Indian, colored young people with serious drug problems.
Sure.
And those are socioeconomic conditions that drive them to that. So it's becoming at least unitary racially or within the race aspect, but it's a serious issue that young people are faced with. So that's the spectrum of young people, and their challenges are precisely on how I've identified them.
Sure. That's scary.
The doom and gloom, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But it's a reality.
That's the reality. So I think all of 2019, the main theme was really disruption. I don't know if you guys...
Anything was disruption.
Uber was disruption. Airbnb was disruption. And then 2020, COVID is disruption. So why would I say COVID is disruption? The disruption that was there before was everything that was in our favor. It was disrupted so that it could improve our lives. I think COVID just took an opposite direction and it's disrupted the lives of many of these young people and left them with no answers.
Sure.
And I think that is the scary part, that it's the elephant in the room. How do we address it, and what are we going to do about it? Because imagine if you were just coming out of high school and you had sought to go study somewhere, and in your first 3 months, everything comes to a grinding halt. Your parents made these loans to try to get you there, and now you're not in in an environment where you can study. Or you find yourselves where young people who are already on the back foot trying to get jobs because the market really wasn't there. And now the people that were there before them who had these permanent posts are also disrupted by not having access to opportunity. So what happens to our youth in that environment? Now you have those who should have had jobs going into this year 2020 based on just the natural evolution of things. You've had an overburdened economy in terms of a lack of access to opportunities. And now the young people, I can only imagine, I would be livid if I was a young person right now. But I would also like to say that it's not all just doom and gloom, Shan. I think that there are new things coming to the fore with what's happening in the industry today. And it's just a matter of changing perspective, man. You know, sometimes these things happen for us to have some introspection and say, well, if I couldn't do it following the normal route, if I was just playing the game, I'm not a game changer.
Changer, yeah.
Right, so you need to become a game changer, and this is the kind of scenario that forces your hand.
Yes.
So if you're not thinking of changing the game today, you're going to end up in trouble. You're bound to end up in trouble anyway.
100%.
Right, so I think that COVID-19, despite everything else, is presenting brand new opportunities, Shan, like never before.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you now, I've seen some really innovative stuff. And I just, to the young man on the other side of the line, I had a call from a friend who's in Cape Town. And during this time, people were stuck in their homes.
Yeah.
People were afraid. They didn't want to go out. They didn't want to go do some shopping and so on, just to get the essentials.
Yeah.
So what happened was some high schoolers decided that they wanted to do deliveries.
Mm.
So they've got a 9 rand delivery program that they're running
nine
in
rand.
The township, right?
Okay.
So you get in Gugule to Nayanga East. Yeah. You've got guys for 9 rand. They'll deliver your groceries for you.
Sure. Like,
can you imagine? They could have sat at home. They could have been depressed. They could have sat in their little shell,
yeah,
or they could have been game changers or think like game changers and find the opportunity in their hand.
Wow. Wow.
And now they also started to create a new form of business. So as much as we have this reality, and it's a very harsh reality, Shad, and I'm saying to you, it's going to be heartbreaking. If you're looking at 8 million people losing their jobs, I can only imagine the downstream impact of that.
Sure.
You know, and I can only imagine in terms of a community like we have here in Ekhuruleni, what does that mean? Where was the job employment rate, and where will it be now? Because who are we manufacturing for? This is an aerotropolis. This is a manufacturing space. And if we're not manufacturing for people to consume, it's going to impact us.
Sure.
It's going to impact us negatively. But I want to say, guys, I feel it. I see it. I'm with you in the trenches, but I am still hopeful.
Yeah.
You know, they always say, it's what the best plans you have is what happens after you've been punched in the face, isn't it? So we need to respond now, right? So this is not the opportunity to lay down on our backs and look up and say, well, I don't know what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
This is the time to execute, guys. This is the time. If you had a dream and it was wild, now's the time to actually see if it works.
There you can hear it from game changers, guys. if that's not getting your hair raised at the back of your head, so I'm not sure what's keeping it real. Yeah. So let's go over to Kofense. Kofense, your thoughts on what is happening on the ground, my friend?
Thank you very much, Sean. I think I'm partially and largely covered by the former speakers that spoke before me. You know, I think maybe summing up these challenges, because I would like to focus on the opportunities more than the challenges, but just to sum them up quickly, I would borrow from the former statistician general, Mr. Phalelo Hotla, in one of his interviews when he was presenting the unemployment statistics. He says that there is a reproduction of poverty with young people graduating from illiteracy into unemployment. And I think that is a very beautiful summary of the challenges that are facing young people and the country at large.
Mm.
Because you have these young people who are graduating from illiteracy into unemployment. And as a result, that creates more and more of the poverty. And you can see it with, the teenage pregnancy that's there, because we sometimes don't speak too much about this thing, and it's a serious issue, you know, where teenage pregnancy is a real problem and it needs to be addressed.
Sure.
Because that's where that reproduction of poverty finds most its expression at its highest level in that teenage pregnancy. And when you look at these young people who are getting pregnant and you look at the backgrounds that they are coming from, it's shocking. Their future is bleak. The children that they are bringing into this world, their future is also bleak, you know.
Sure.
And there's also a challenge of substance abuse, which is very serious. You know, I live in Pretoria.
Yeah,
it's always said, you know, when you go almost all over Pretoria, there has to be a space where young people are just there getting high, you know, on one drug or the other drug, that they're just getting high. And we have sort of normalized that thing so much so that it doesn't even pain us. And I think we need to change our mindset there. There's also an issue of, young people are coming up with great initiatives. As the former speaker has spoken, has given an example of, you know, this young person in Cape Town.
Yes,
but I think in this country we don't support small medium enterprises as we should.
As we should, yeah.
And in fact, I don't think even in our definition of small medium enterprises, we understand what those things are. Because sometimes when people speak about SMEs, they speak about companies that are already big. And you are saying, but that is not it. Let's look at these micro enterprises that are particularly formed by young people. Let's create incubators for them. Let's nourish them. Let's pump resources into them. I'll give you a personal example. Since the lockdown, I haven't had an opportunity to get income because the work that I do involves people gathering.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
You apply for these business relief funds and all of that, and you are not replied to. You know, you are just not given a response. At least when someone tells you no, you know, you'll be consoled that I tried. But I'm just saying that the mechanisms to support micro enterprises need to be strengthened. They need to be further developed so that we can create employment as young people, you know.
Yeah.
There's also an issue as a result of this COVID-19 that has been highlighted quite clearly, quite vividly. The issue of the digital divide and inequality, right? Yeah. Where you know, for instance, young people are forced to do remote learning, right?
Yeah.
But they don't have the devices.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have access to data, you know. They don't have, so in some places, there's not even network coverage where these young people find themselves. And I think we need to address that because the reality is that things are moving on the internet. And it's going to be a space where, as young people, we can express ourselves, we can be creative and be able to do businesses. So we need the cost of data to fall. And I think there needs to be strong advocacy for that. As young people, we must organize ourselves and keep demanding for data prices to fall. We need broadband. I'm glad that the government is unleashing spectrum, you know, so that we can increase the network coverage and the broadband so that people can have access to the internet, you know, to be able to, you know, be creative and come up with initiatives that will ensure that they are able to get out of this poverty that is a challenge, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think as we do that, as we advocate for that, we must advocate for the protection of internal industries, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're having a very interesting conversation with Professor Chiridze Marwala, you know, the VC of UJ, University of Johannesburg. And he was asking very important question to say, we just keep consuming, you know, even when we are given an opportunity to be able to create. Why don't we create our own Google? Why don't we create,
yes,
you know, our own Zoom, our own South African version of Zoom? You know, why don't we create things that will enable us to sell data? Because now data has become the biggest commodity, like the most valuable commodity. And as South Africans, we are not engaging as effectively in that space, right? So with broadening access to the internet, you allow young people to be creative and be able to come up with such initiative. Because a lot of these companies are getting money from just selling our data to other people, right? Mm. So we also need to participate in that space. And I'm saying this not only as a challenge, but as an opportunity to say COVID-19 has brought us opportunities where people are starting to take the internet serious. And therefore, as young people, we must flood those spaces, create initiatives that would allow us to generate income, you know, from having access to the internet.
Yeah.
There's also an issue of gender-based violence, and this is a serious one.
Yes.
You know, I think that as young people, we must be the ones to champion that cause.
Mm.
Right? We must be advocating for harsh measures to be taken against the perpetrators of gender-based violence.
Yeah.
They must be isolated, they must be punished harshly, and they must be rehabilitated quite strongly,
yes,
right? In our advocacy, we must not just speak about retribution, but we must also speak about re-education and rehabilitation as the document that is a foundation to our society says, the Freedom Charter says on pillar number 6 that people will go to prison for the strongest crimes they commit against other people, but not only for the sake of being punished, but to re-educate them. And I think when we speak, when we advocate for gender-based violence, we barely speak about this rehabilitation process, right? And I think we need to speak about it quite strongly to say there needs to be rehabilitation measures for perpetrators of gender-based violence, you know. Mm. And I think as young people, we must champion that particular cause,
yes.
You know. But as the latter speakers have said, there are quite a number of opportunities here. I think as young people, we must take, you know, we must not live in fear and say this COVID-19 has really, you know, disrupted our lives. We have lost all hope. No, we must turn this into an opportunity to change the yes. world, to yes. give this country a vision. Young people, that I feel the most important task we have at this particular point is to give a country a different vision.
Yes.
You know, we often speak about the NDP, but when you look at the NDP, I think, you know, it's a great plan, but it is out of touch with reality. And we haven't achieved most of the things that plan has envisaged.
Yeah.
And it's therefore up to us as young people, we must mobilize ourselves, organize ourselves, and give this country a particular vision, because we are in the fourth industrial revolution. It's young yeah. people who must lead that particular yeah. revolution. So we must be bold in yes. giving this country a particular vision. So I don't know what we can call it, you know. Maybe we can call it a young people's vision of South Africa, or the South Africa we envisaged, or the South Africa of tomorrow. But as young people, we must present, you know, the country with a particular vision at this point, mm. where as young people who are proud, and we are trailblazers in that regard, to say,
yeah.
as young people, we are giving you as a nation this particular document as a new vision for the country
yeah.
that we want all people to rally behind. So I think there are great opportunities. Yes, the challenges are severe. We have young people who find themselves having to study in environments that are not conducive.
Yes.
You know, young people not coping with this remote learning. You know, young people getting out of jobs. Right now,
yeah.
restaurants were closed. And when you look at the people who work in restaurants, most of them are young people. So
mm.
there are those challenges. But I think we must be game changers.
No, indeed, absolutely.
We must be game changers as yeah. young people.
Kofensi, you're speaking, I mean, you're just hitting the nail on the head each
time. He's speaking to my heart, man. He's speaking to my heart, Shane. And I just want to say, the salient point that came out of that for me really was just the idea that young people can be leaders.
Yes.
And if they have to have to drive a vision, let's put up a hashtag and get behind it, right? So what I normally see, it's a great little line that goes with it. It says, true leaders, if you
yeah.
think about social media,
yeah.
true leaders don't create followers. True leaders create more leaders.
Wow.
And we need to start thinking like that, and especially with our youth. But we shouldn't also advocate or abscond from our responsibility.
Really. Yes.
We shouldn't abscond from our responsibility as the older guys to say, well, let us shine some light there so the kids can get through.
Sure.
Right? So if it means we have to put up the infrastructure, then that's what we should do.
Absolutely.
Right? So they can fulfill those dreams. Absolutely. It shouldn't just be on them. And I think that would be an unfair statement, because my brother next to me said, we also have that economic issue.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
social economic impact that has been put down on these kids. So if we have the opportunity and we are able to articulate and are able to fundraise and put these things in place for them, then isn't that our responsibility too?
Sure.
And not to just look at them and say, ah, the millennials. You know, the typical thing, oh, the millennials are like this. You know what? Yeah. I love millennials. And I told you this before, Shan.
Yes.
I love the way they think. I love the way that they're not stuck
yes.
in the status quo. I love the fact that millennials are able to take risks
sure.
and see things differently.
Differently, yeah.
Yeah, they want to work for companies that mean something,
yes.
that does something. Remember, we were talking about that.
Yeah.
And I see that in them. And in all of the hopelessness, in all of that despair, I still see that shining through, Shannon. And that's
sure.
what I'm saying. I'm really inspired by our youth. I just think that they need opportunities. And
sure.
we need to find a way to get those opportunities to them.
I mean, you just heard it from Arthur and Kofensi and also Modise. Salome Live. Connect your soul. My question was around the... Yes, we're getting excited because we're saying there's opportunities that's coming out of COVID, right? Yes, we can see... you know, the negativity, there's enough negative news. I mean, I don't have to ask you for the stats. There's
yeah.
enough stats that
yep.
shows how many people's unemployed, how many losses, how many people losing their lives. But, you know, as the human race, we will survive. We will overcome, like the president says, we will overcome, we will conquer. And it's us having to change our mindset and saying, yes, the future looks kind of bleak, but I can surely see the sun is rising, and grasp onto that hope. And how do we take it forward from now, you know, going forward on this? My question was, a lot of the things Kofensi even mentioned and Modise mentioned initially in their statements around the drugs, the guys in the street, you know, the crime, a lot of this is not intentional. We can't take away the crime. We can't say that it's not bad. It is bad, right? So we're not saying they're not bad. But sometimes we don't understand the underlying issues, the root cause issues. And one of the sessions I had about 3 weeks ago, I spoke around a fatherless society. Mm. We've lost real men. We've lost real role models. We've lost them. If you go into townships today, and I mean, the little experience I had that worked in townships, you'd find that the role models were the gangsters, the drug lords, because he's driving in his fancy MLs and, you know, G-Wagons and beautiful cars with beautiful women. And then you're trying to compete against that with saying there's hope and education and there's a future. But there's root issues because we don't have the stability at home. That's why I think we have even the gender-based violence.
Yeah, yeah.
We have the drugs. We have the child-run households.
Yep.
We have all of these issues. It's not going to go away. Bring data in, but if I'm getting abused at home, what's the data going to do for me?
Mm. That's true.
I can build a hub in Soweto and provide all the bells and whistles and all the opportunities. But if I don't have taxi fare to get there, and I don't have the support, or I don't dress the right way, like you always say, I don't fit in. So do we then again, is it really equal opportunity? Because then we're only catering for the guys that are sort of can get out of their situation to those opportunities. Or are we really saying, can we create equal opportunities, meaning let's take it down to ground level, let's put something in place to get those guys out of the situation and then take them to the next level of growth? So those are just my thoughts. I just want to spend 5 minutes quickly from you guys. What are your views? Am I smoking weed because it's legal?
I just think, Sharon, from a private sector perspective, most people are seeing it as two things. So there's the capitalist and there's the socialist.
Yeah.
And people are feeling that the socialists are winning because people want everything for free. Mm. Free housing, free healthcare, free education, and so on. But what they're not acknowledging is that this capitalist base that we have has taken away from so many people that they are not on an equal footing to begin with, right? And you're starting to see that now with Black Lives Matter. You're starting to see that now in other typical institutions that were there before. People are rebelling against it. Why? Because it's never been equal for everybody. And unfortunately, also, I see that life is also like that. And I can acknowledge that sometimes life is cruel. I'm sure when Moktisi was studying law, it wasn't easy. He wasn't given the same footing as someone who had some sort of social equity or privilege.
Yeah.
Right. But in life, I feel that while we have these challenges, I do believe that some people must be given assistance because we are not all born with the same type of energy.
Yeah.
Number one, we are not all born with the same type of thinking. And like I said, that social capital, access to an uncle who can assist you, an auntie who can assist you, being in an environment where you are protected, there's someone who's looking out for you. Because some of these kids that are in these communities have no protection. Yeah. They're child-headed households. The kid might be doing well, but that child who's heading the household is being abused by somebody else.
Sure.
Because we don't have that social structure like in the past where the opposite neighborhood look out. That is gone. So instead of looking out through the window, we're now staring at our phones. Sure. We're now minding our business. I think our entire cultural construct has changed. So can we get that back? I don't know. I'm unsure. But I can tell you one thing. I admire the gentleman here that said fees must fall.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is it's not that we cannot afford that year one, year two, as an example. Yeah. It's just that we cannot sustain it throughout because what we have in our upbringing is that we don't have enough time or money or resources to save, first of all, to maintain it.
Sure.
So we are asking for assistance. And I think that private sector should be giving that assistance. Mm. Private sector should be affording young people who are doing phenomenally well the opportunity to study further. It should even go deeper down, Shan, where if we are identifying skills, if we are identifying gifts inside of people, why aren't we getting that discovered at a younger level? Why are we not identifying soccer stars at the age of 6, 7, 8, 9 as they start to grow? We can start to identify talent. Mm. That's what people do with data all the time.
Sure.
Right? They use this data and they disseminate it and they're able to find the things that they need to pay attention to. Mm. And if you look at successful countries, that is what they are doing. If you look at New Zealand, you look at Australia, the places that we want to run away to, that's what they're doing. So why are we not doing it here? Mm. Why are we not doing that here for our own people? And that's why I say I'm for the free part, but I'm also saying let's also reward people.
Yes.
Let's also see people for who they are and see their talents and their gifts and assist them through it. Because it's not just easy. Like I told you the last time, this is this misnomer that if you work hard, you're going to get there.
Mm.
That is not true. Shan, I've seen people roll water cans, carry buckets of hood on their, with hood on their head. And they're walking long distances. I call that working hard, but are they getting somewhere?
Mm.
Yeah? So let's not confuse that part. I think we need assistance. I think everybody needs some help sometime.
Yes.
I myself, even at the best of times, you need some help. You need someone to talk to. And the same thing for our youth. If we can create some sort of movement around that, Shan, where people are, where you are seen, because we are running around and roaming in almost like invisible. And like what DC was saying, one of the challenges is, you have these young people on the streets. We are ignoring them. We're not even looking them in the eye. That's inhuman.
Mm.
That's not human.
Mm.
We are acting as if they are separate from us, yet we are a society. How can a society be separate from one another? Well, how can we talk about Ubuntu, but we're not living it, right? Mm. It's only great when it's in a song. It's only great when we see it on TV and other people are talking about it, but we cannot live it within our homes.
Sure.
That's not right. And so I say, I don't like it when people talk negatively about millennials. I get seriously irritated because I know what they stuck with. They are left with that legacy of whatever we do. Like you said, we are the real men.
Mm.
Nowadays, we can't even speak up because we are concerned I might offend somebody that might close the door for me in a tender, or it might close the door for me at a job in a private institution.
Yeah.
Real men don't think that way. Real men stand up for what is right.
Yes.
As an example. But if we cannot do that, what message are we sending down to the kids? Are we saying that, guys, don't worry, just let it blow over?
It will get better.
It's not going to get better.
Mm.
It only gets better when we address it.
Yes.
It only gets better when we start to speak about it.
Yeah.
Right? And when we start to speak about it, we got to do something about it. And hence I'm saying, I don't want to abscond from my responsibility. I'm not a millennial. I'm a 45-year-old. Mm-hmm. But I know I have a responsibility, Shan. Yeah. I know that there's so much that I should be doing for these young people. And it's not out of guilt or obligation. It's the human thing to do. So can we get a few humans on the on those lines that's prepared to say, let's support the kids. Let's create a mini movement.
Yes.
Let's support 10 kids, Shan.
Yes.
And help them get through.
Get started somewhere.
But it has to start somewhere.
What do you say?
Yeah. So I'm not a fan, honestly, of the discussions around social constructions of society, precisely or particularly the theories, how society is composed and the challenges. So the theories is what I think we're all very good at doing. My experience, especially working from public sector, is that young people want practical, real examples of how they can succeed now.
Absolutely.
So their success and their development is time-based, is periodical, because if you look at the stats, I mean, the stats are clear. There are some young people, over the 59% or say 60% of them that are looking for employment right now who are unemployed. There's a good chance of almost half of those never finding employment in this country, given the certain dynamics. So young people are looking for answers now. Now, one of the things we've done in our directorate, at least one of the things I made sure that we implement, is that we can never go for info sessions and not provide any opportunity for young people. Because we are very, very good, especially, it was a culture shock, by the way, Shan, coming to work for public sector and having to respond to challenges and being limited by red tape. Because one of the things is there is that young people want responses. They're not looking for policy and. Of course, those are administrative stuff. And what COVID has taught us, those things can happen backdoor or
concurrently
yes. with the practical implementations of the development of the young people. So what young people want, I've got a business, I want to sell bread. I've got a machine, or I need a machine that can bake, that can do 1, 2, 3, and sell bread because I've got a market. Now, we usually subject young people to all these type of red tape, stringent measures, and all those things that actually, stymie them, for lack of a better word, from their progress. So I think the first point is that I've really gotten very disinterested in having any discussion that doesn't empower young people. I hope this discussion here as well is not one of those, whereby it's an informative session. Young people know where to get the information from.
Absolutely.
IT has taught them or has directed them where to get the information from. Young people know how to make an invoice now because they can download an app and they can teach or learn how to make an invoice. Young people know where to get bursaries from. The direction that we must steer, at least this conversation, the direction that we must steer the development of young people must be practical solutions of how we can assist them through the private sector, through what God Game and are doing, and what the school sector and Thingy are doing there from the FISMAS form, and how do we assist young people, especially from the public sector as well, and create an enabling environment. So I think that's where the shape of discussion must take. I think the more discussions we have going forward, it must be about practical examples of how I need a bursary. Where must I go? I've got the marks. How can I go get this? 100%. I need a business. I need funding. I need relief funding after COVID.
Yes.
How do I do it? Where must I get it? I need, to stock up for my, cooking oil so that I can make amakwinya. Where must I go? How do I do that? And that's the discussion I think we must be able to start shaping this discourse about youth development.
No, 100%. And I think I'll share with you just now what we're doing from another framework that I'm busy with called Hustlers. And I think it sort of blends in terms of some of the actions we're getting out of that. And I think we can fit in nicely with what we're trying to achieve from a movement from this point of view. So, Kofense, your thoughts? I mean, just quickly before we're already 20 past 7, so I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I want to get into some real actions that come out of it. Like Modise said, I'm not a person that likes the informative stuff. Like you can get that anyway. I want to keep it real. I want to make things happen. If it meant us changing 5 people's lives for having the session, man, we've done our job. Yeah. We don't have to change the entire nation, but if we can change 5 people, young people's lives, and they are never the same again, then that has been a successful session for me. Offense, just quickly, 5 minutes on your side before we get into solutions and so forth.
No, thank you so much. I think it's a very important discussion and reflection to have. And I'm going to speak as a young person and be a devil's advocate and put some of the blame on young people, right? But I would like to lay this context quickly. You would know that last week we were, celebrating Chris Hani's birthday, even after he has left us, I think quite quickly. And he said very interesting words that would form context to what I'm going to say. He says, we need to stop the violence. The political violence we can handle. The socioeconomic violence is difficult. The regime has never bothered to remove the socioeconomic causes of violence. The hostels, the deterioration in schools, the poverty, and so on. Now, we find ourselves with very, very violent socioeconomic challenges. And I'm here to say it's young people who must solve those challenges. How do we do it? I think one, we must stop this thing of saying we're apolitical, because it's a very dangerous mindset to have, according to me, right? Today you saw the AG, Auditor General, releasing a report which says that out of the 257 municipalities, only 20 received clean audits, right? And a total of at least 13 billion in regular expenditures has been recorded. So young people cannot be apolitical in that situation. We need to heighten our political consciousness.
That's
because
true.
Those are our resources. And if we say we're going to be apolitical, we are really saying that it's fine, these people can keep spending this money as they like, it doesn't matter. And I think that's a very dangerous mindset to have. As we were celebrating Youth Month, the inspiration we must draw from that youth of 1976 is that we have to be political and unapologetic about it, so that whenever people act out of accordance in an immoral way, in a way that abuses, you know, state resources, we are the first ones to stand up and say, no, we are not going to have this kind of leaders, you know, especially as young people, because we are the ones on the receiving end of whatever a mess is going on in the country. So we need to fight that attitude of apoliticalism and heighten our political consciousness. Going into elections, young people must go out in their numbers and exercise their democratic right to choose who must lead them. And in choosing who must lead them, they have to be very frank in stopping corrupt elements from occupying positions of power, right? Number two, I think as young people, we need to start supporting each other's initiatives.
Yes.
Because
yes,
a lot of time, what happens
the competition
us, that we compete a lot, right? Competition is good. Don't get me wrong. It's good. You know, it keeps one going. But we need to be collaborative, right? For instance, as entrepreneurs, how do we organize ourselves, right, to create new value chains that we can be in control of, right? As young professionals, how do we organize ourselves to ensure that we transform the working environment so that it can create opportunities for more young people, right, and be progressive, right? As young public servants, how do we organize ourselves in such a way that we can create systems that will automatically reject anyone who has come with malicious intents in the public service, right? So those are the things that we need to think about. We need to start supporting each other, organizing, and ensuring that we don't wait for old people to tell us who are the best amongst us. We don't wait for Maiden Guardian to tell us these are the 200 most influential young people.
Yes.
We must be the ones telling the country who is the best amongst us, and we must celebrate them unapologetically so. Thirdly, as young people, we must start developing ourselves, right? And in that development, we must do it in such a way that we can self-sustain and be self-reliant, right? Because you look at even how people, or the orientation of education, for example, people go to school because they expect after they complete it, they must get a job. And I think that's a sick mindset, right? Sure. You must be able to say, I'm going to school so that I'm in a better position to contribute in transforming society, right? Yeah. Getting a job is not the ultimate, right? The ultimate thing for me to engage in this education exercise is to be able to contribute towards the much needed solutions, right? I always say a young person who has never went to school versus a young person who has went to school, even though when they are confronted with unemployment, because it's a challenge, right? But this one who has went to school cannot complain as this one who has not gone to school. He must find something to do that will contribute positively in society, right? And the fourth thing that we need to do, right, I think we need to take in developing ourselves, we need to start looking into, you know, other unconventional ways. I mean, there are so many open platforms of learning these days.
Yes.
For instance, Google has courses that young people can do for free. IBM has coding courses that you can do for free. So learning and self-developing has actually become so accessible. It just needs will from us young people to develop ourselves. And the last thing I think it's important to do as young people, I think we must create platforms, right, that will speak about the initiatives that we are engaged in that are contributing positively to society, that will profile young people, that will profile our views, you know, unfiltered as they are, militant as they are, so that young people create their own spaces of influencing discourse, right? It can no longer be that when people are making submissions, for instance, I saw last year, was it last year or 2018, where when different organizations were making inputs about the land question in parliament. Young people were not there. No organization of young people went and made a submission, which is quite embarrassing, because the issue of land speaks directly to us as young people. We need access to land in order for us to be productive, in order for us to grow food, in order for us to create jobs. We need land, and therefore young people should not find themselves missing in such important dialogues. So yes, we need to create those platforms, encourage other young people to express themselves freely. We need to heighten our political consciousness. We need to support each other. We need to organize ourselves so that we are able to seize these opportunities that we are speaking of. And what we expect from society, really, as the other colleagues have said, we need mentoring and sponsorship of young people, right?
No.
We need mentoring and sponsorship of young people, right? Private sector, government entities, civil society organizations must not be afraid to take chances on young people, right? They must take chances on young people, because when you invest in a young person, you are investing in the future of the country, right? Even if this young person does not know, you know, what they are doing, take a chance on them, right? Because they might actually come up with something good. When you look at all of these platforms that we're using, your Facebook, your Google, your Zoom and what, they are created by young people because other societies are taking a chance on their young people, right? They are investing resources, they're investing time, they're investing money in them. Even though they are not quite clear as to, but what are these people doing, right? Mm. But they have that faith in young people. So that's what we expect in society, to give us space to lead, to support our initiatives, to sponsor us and mentor us. And just to sum up, I think as young people, we must rise to the occasion, because there's leadership bankruptcy in this country.
Mm. Mm.
We lack proper leadership. We lack inspirational leadership, right? We are still looking, you know, up to people like Thabo Mbeki. They are very old and they are dying very soon, right? So as young people, we must rise to the occasion and fill that gap. Become the inspirational leaders we so need. Become the moral compass that this society so needs, right? We must reject, you know, forming part of these corrupt activities, this moral decay, and take a stance that says, as young people, we want to be different.
Yeah.
We want those coming after us to look up to us. We want to be there as mentors. We want to be there as role models, so that at the end of the day, we can respond to this leadership crisis that the country is having. Salome Live,
connect your soul. Yeah, so like I said in the beginning, or at least somewhere in the middle, I'm really not a fan of talking about issues or the plight of young people, because I've had to interface with them for the past couple of years. And I've said earlier when I introduced myself that I abandoned legal practice to be a youth development practitioner. So the solutions that must come really must be in the form of what Work Defense were doing in Fees Must Fall, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what they did, they disrupted an entire system. They were able to say... I'm studying operations now. I'm furthering my studies, and there's what they call the Dell model of operations, right? From the production to the customer without distribution, whatever the case might be. Anyway, I diverge. But the point I'm trying to raise is that what Fees Must Fall was able to do, at least at the time, was say, let us have the theoretical discussions of institutional autonomy and academic autonomy after we get a resolve that this must happen.
Yeah.
So you can sort out the niceties after you've resolved that this is what we want. And I think that's what, or the attitude we need if we want to sort out youth development, right? We must be able to be, or to radicalize the idea that this is what we want, right? I mean, looking at the stats, and they sort of give you a direction, but the stats are, like we said, we spoke about the unemployment stats, with about almost 3 million people losing their jobs in future. So you can already tell that in the next 2-3 years, the future of jobs and the type of jobs that we are going to be going into. So already, if we're going to start anything or discuss anything about young people, we must be able to respond directly to what is happening
now.
Right? For an example, what's happening now? The reality, some of the realities, hard realities, we speak about 4IR, but the reality is that South Africa is a couple of years, if not a decade, from 4IR, right? Automation and artificial intelligence is coming to South Africa, but it's already alive in other countries. So where are we and what should we be responding to, right? We should be speaking about that transformative developmental state that we want to see. How to make sure that young people are within the heights of the manufacturing, the heights of the economic centers that speak directly to their empowerment, when we speak at least about jobs. And the other reality is that the government, or at least us as administration, need to play an active role in social development of young people. A very good friend of mine who also happens to be a youth development practitioner was speaking about work guarantees. Right? I mean, if there's a pandemic like COVID, which has got a fatality rate of about 3.2%, and you've got unemployment, poverty, that has got a fatality rate that is much higher, why can't government spend 100 billion rand on work guarantees for young people? This is where government can come in and play in within the private sector, right? Mm. We already have placement programs like community work programs, extended public work programs and whatnot. But what if we had work guarantee programs, a set aside of 100 billion rand for young people to be able to put them within work and placements of work and then give them those real opportunities of actual experiential full-time work as and when they need. So the point I'm trying to raise is that we need real-life practical experiences now that can solve issues of young people now. And then we can come back and speak about the theory, the theoretical issues of how do we then absolve and deal away with the social construct and so forth and so on.
Okay, awesome, awesome stuff. Henderson.
How much of that 100 billion is mine?
We're all waiting part of the 500 billion.
No, I'm teasing, I'm teasing. So I love what he's saying, because we have to look at where we are investing our money, first of all. I think that if you had to re-look at the budgets right now in terms of what has been spent today on COVID as an example, we could have put in so many interventions.
Sure.
You know what I mean? That could have stimulated this economy if we knew that we had 500 billion sitting somewhere.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, right? Yeah. And we could have solved so many of the basic issues around schooling, university, free healthcare, and so on, right? Yeah. We could have done a lot of that and putting the basic foundation in place with money like that. But for me, like you said earlier, it's about practical solutions. What kind of practical solutions can be put in play? And I always believe that start as close to home as possible. Yeah, we're in the Ekurhuleni area. The station broadcasts within this area. You have fans in this area, Shan. So what I think we should also do is, and I had this idea that was running through my head while you were speaking, and I was thinking about the take a girl child to work day. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Yes, yes.
But what about doing it for a year? And I say take it to work. Give them access to opportunity for a year. Yeah. Give them access to exposure for a year. Let them into this network. Create this network that you have and make them part of it. Allow the youth to see what is happening. Because it's very difficult to tell someone, you must have vision.
Yes.
But you put the blinders on them.
Yeah.
From, you know, this is not for kids. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. You have to lead, right? And like the gentleman on the side, Kefensi, said, we have lack of true leadership, right? But we have to provide the platform.
Yes.
We must lead as older guys in this room. I noticed it was your birthday on the weekend, Shane, when I went into Facebook now. So there's the older guys. We have to provide them with this platform.
Yes.
We have to provide them with this access.
Yes.
And that means take that girl child, take that boy child, until whatever age that is, as teenagers and young adults, take them by the hand, virtually, and expose them to what is out in the world. It's no use you benefiting, you have kind of found your feet, but that young person who's now 24 years old has never been in the job environment at all, has never been exposed at all, so that when he walks in there, he should have his confidence, or she should have a confidence up high.
Yes.
Based on the fact that I have been exposed.
Yeah.
I know how to operate. I know what to say.
Mm.
I mean, I think I shared the story with you. Doing your first presentation is the most horrible thing.
Yeah.
Until you get used to it.
Yeah.
But if someone is holding your hand, it goes back to what Kefensi was saying around mentorship. We underplay mentorship big time. If you look at any other country in the world, Shan, when they talk about having an artisan, an apprentice, it's actually an honor. If you go to European countries, if a guy has a job, he's a plumber, electrician, if he doesn't have an apprentice, guess what they say about him? He's not a quality dude, because
he can't pass it
if on. He has people that are dying to be his apprentices, he must be an exceptional person. And he must be a master at his craft.
Sure.
But we are not doing that. Maybe because we're not masters. Maybe we're afraid the youth are going to see we're not really as good as we say we are. So I'm saying let's walk the walk, and you know, as much as we talk the talk, and open it up. Open it up to the youth. Give them the access. Let them see the bad and the good.
Yes.
But give them the experience. Right? Isn't that what everybody's trying to sell? Experience? Why are we trying to sell experience? Because that's how people buy into things. Right? And I think with the right kind of experience, we're going to go forward. Our youth will lead. But first, show them where they're going. Help them.
Awesome. Arthur, you look like you got your timing right. He just knows how to say.
He's done public speaking,
yeah,
clearly.
I think, so, Kofense, you've got 3 minutes, my friend. Your last thoughts, like I said, it doesn't have to end here. We can still have a discussion. We can take it into another session. Book it out in the next 3-4 weeks. Maybe get into a focused discussion. But let's say for the next 3 minutes, just your thoughts on what we can do and how do we take this going forward. Kofense?
One, I think that we amongst ourselves engage with progressive organizations or entities. And perhaps that's where we should start to say what kind of partnerships would we get into, you know, not just as the institutions that we're part of.
Yeah.
And whatever we come up with, I think one must reconnect young people with the right leaders.
Yeah.
For instance, if, for example, I'm an aspiring diplomat, right? What kind of diplomat or who are we going to find who has experience in that space and link them with me to be my mentor, right?
Yes.
To say, okay, this is how you can get into diplomacy. This is how you can prepare yourself, you know? I think also we whatever we come up with must link young people with opportunities, right?
Yes.
So, for instance, we go to tap into our social capital, you know, with the institutions that we work with and say, let's bring those people there and let's have a show where they come and they meet with young people. Like, for example, what you were speaking about, the business, the Hustlers program that you had, I think it's a good model to have, you know, because it links people directly with opportunities.
Yes.
And thirdly, and lastly, I'm most passionate about this and I'm going to raise it again. I think we should come up with an initiative that will call out on young people to say, what kind of South Africa do you envisage? What kind of South Africa do you want to live in the next 10 years?
What is your South Africa?
And yes, you know, and we then organize those people, those who are interested in economic issues, they give us their inputs, those in social issues, they give us our inputs. And finally, we come up with some form of a document, you know, that we can present to the right authorities and say, this is a vision that young people crafted by young people. Can you please support in making this vision a reality?
Yes.
So I'm saying that we can do. It's not something that would need us to plan and, you know, prevaricate. No, it can happen. Even if it's on Facebook, Twitter, we say, young people, just make submissions of the kind of South Africa you want.
Yes.
And from there, we involve certain aspects, particularly young people, and we develop this particular document that we can present, you know, to South Africa and say, this is the kind of South Africa young people want to see. Let's all rally behind this vision and make it happen.
Keeping it real with Shan Naidoo.
Salome Live. Connect your soul.